Last night for dinner, my mother made green beans. I thought they were the grossest, greenest things I'd ever seen. Well, she said no dessert until your beans are done. So when she wasn't looking, I hid every single one. There were green beans in my pocket. There were green beans on the floor. There were green beans in my milk and green beans behind the door. There were green beans in my shoes and socks and in my sister's hair. Please don't tell my mom that I hid green beans everywhere. Oh no, please don't tell my mom that I hid green beans everywhere. Oh no, please don't tell my mom that I hid green beans everywhere. I went to bed a little sad, knowing that I'd lied. When the lights went out, I lay there and I cried. I finally fell asleep, but I had an awful dream.
Welcome to Library on the Go. We bring stories and adventures to you. I'm Ms. Laura.
And I'm Ms. Barbara.
From the Cortez Public Library. And today Ms. Barbara has a classic for you.
This is from the Just So Stories by Rudyard Kipling, drawings by Rudyard Kipling, and color plates by Joseph M. Gleason, published by Children's Classics. I want to give you a little background on Rudyard Kipling. He wrote these stories more than 100 years ago, and he loved children, and many of his writings were directed towards the children, and you probably know at least one of his books because he wrote The Jungle Book. He was born in India, but his childhood was not very happy. He spent most of it away from his family in boarding schools in England. And the story I'm going to read today is from his stories that he called the Just So Stories. And as he's telling this story, he's refers to his best beloved, which is you or any child who happens to be reading or listening to this book. The story I picked for today is called The Elephant's Child. In the high and far off times, the elephant, O best beloved, had no trunk. He had only a blackish, bulgy nose as big as a boot that he could wriggle about from side to side, but he couldn't pick up things with it. But there was one elephant, a new elephant, an elephant's child, who was full of satiable curiosity. And that means he asked ever so many questions. And he lived in Africa, and he filled all Africa with his satiable curiosities. He asked his tall aunt, the ostrich, why her tail feathers grew just so, and his tall aunt, the ostrich, spanked him with her hard, hard claw. He asked his tall uncle, the giraffe, what made his skin spotty, and his tall uncle, the giraffe, spanked him with his hard, hard hoof, and still he was full of satiable curiosity. He asked his broad aunt, the hippopotamus, why her eyes were red, and his broad aunt, the hippopotamus, spanked him with her broad, broad hoof. And he asked his hairy uncle, the baboon, why melons tasted just so, and his hairy uncle, the baboon, spanked him with his hairy, hairy paw, and still he was full of satiable curiosity. He asked questions about everything that he saw or heard or felt or smelt or touched, and all his uncles and all his aunts spanked him, and still he was filled of satiable curiosity. One fine morning in the middle of the procession of the equinoxes, this satiable elephant's child asked a new fine question that he had never asked before. He asked, what does a crocodile have for dinner? Then everybody said, hush, in a loud and dreadful tone, and they spanked him immediately and directly, without stopping, for a long time. By and by, when that was finished, he came upon Colo Colo Bird sitting in the middle of a wait-a-bit thorn bush, and he said, my father has spanked me, and my mother has spanked me. All my aunts and uncles have spanked me for my satiable curiosity, and still I want to know what the crocodile has for dinner. Then the Colo Colo Bird said with a mournful cry, go to the banks of the great gray, green, greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, and find out. That very next morning, when there was nothing left of the equinoxes because the procession had proceeded according to precedent, this satiable elephant's child took 100 pounds of bananas, the little short red kind, and 100 pounds of sugar cane, the long purple kind, and 17 melons, the greeny crackly kind, and said to all his dear families, "Goodbye. I am going to the great gray-green greasy Lupopo River, all set about with fever trees, to find out what the crocodile has for dinner." They all spanked him once more for luck, though he asked them most politely to stop. Then he went away, a little warm, but not at all astonished, eating melons and throwing the rind about because he could not pick it up. He went from Grahamstown to Kimberley, from Kimberley to Kama's country, and from Kama's country he went east by north, eating melons all the time, till at last he came to the banks of the great gray-green greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, precisely as the Kolo-Kolo bird had said. Now you must know and understand, O best beloved, that till that very week and day and hour and minute, this satiable elephant's child had never seen a crocodile and did not know what one was like. It was all his satiable curiosity. The first thing that he found was a bicolored python rock snake curled round a rock. "Excuse me," said the elephant's child most politely, "but have you seen such a thing as a crocodile in these promiscuous parts?" "Have I seen a crocodile?" said the bicolored python rock snake, in a voice of dreadful scorn. "What will you ask me next?" "Excuse me," said the elephant's child, "but could you kindly tell me what he has for dinner?" Then the bicolored python rock snake uncoiled himself very quickly from the rock and spanked the elephant's child with his fearsome, flaysome tail. "That is odd," said the elephant's child, "because my father and my mother and my uncle and my aunt, not to mention my other aunt, the hippopotamus, and my other uncle, the baboon, have all spanked me for my satiable curiosity. And I suppose this is the same thing." So he said goodbye very politely to the bicolored python rock snake and helped to coil him up on the rock again and went on, a little warm but not at all astonished, eating melons and throwing the rind about, because he could not pick it up, till he trod on what he thought was a log of wood at the very edge of the great gray-green greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees. But it was really the crocodile, O best beloved, and the crocodile winked one eye. "Excuse me," said the elephant's child most politely, "but do you happen to have seen a crocodile in these promiscuous parts?" Then the crocodile winked the other eye and lifted half his tail out of the mud, and the elephant's child stepped back most politely, because he did not wish to be spanked again. "Come hither, little one," said the crocodile. "Why do you ask such things?" "Excuse me," said the elephant's child most politely, "but my father has spanked me, my mother has spanked me, not to mention my tall aunt the ostrich and my tall uncle the giraffe, who can kick ever so hard, as well as my broad aunt the hippopotamus and my hairy uncle the baboon, and including the bicolored python rock snake with the scalesome, flailsome tail just up the bank, who spanks harder than any of them. And so, if it's quite all the same to you, I don't want to be spanked any more." "Come hither, little one," said the crocodile, "for I am the crocodile," and he wept crocodile tears to show it was quite true. Then the elephant's child grew all breathless and panted and kneeled down on the bank and said, "You are the very person I have been looking for all these long days. Will you please tell me what you have for dinner?" "Come hither, little one," said the crocodile, "and I'll whisper." Then the elephant's child put his head down close to the crocodile's musky, tusky mouth, and the crocodile caught him by his little nose, which up to that very week, day, hour, and minute had been no bigger than a boot, though much more useful. "I think," said the crocodile, and he said it between his teeth like this, "I think today I will begin with Elephant's Child." At this, O best beloved, the elephant's child was much annoyed, and he said, speaking through his nose like this,
"Let go, you're hurting me."
Then the bicolored python rock snake scuffled down from the bank and said, "My young friend, if you do not now, immediately and instantly, pull as hard as ever you can, it is my opinion that your acquaintance in the large pattern leather ulster," and by this he meant the crocodile, "will jerk you into yonder limpid stream before you can say Jack Robinson." This is the way bicolored python rock snakes always talk. Then the elephant's child sat back on his little haunches and pulled and pulled and pulled, and his nose began to stretch, and the crocodile floundered into the water, making it all creamy with great sweeps of his tail, and he pulled and pulled and pulled, and the elephant child's nose kept on stretching, and the elephant child spread his forelegs and pulled and pulled and pulled, and his nose kept on stretching, and the crocodile threshed his tail like an oar, and he pulled and pulled and pulled, and at each pull the elephant child's nose grew longer and longer, and it hurt him. Then the elephant child felt his leg slipping, and he said through his nose, which was now nearly 5 feet long,
"This is too much to me."
Then the bicolored python rock snake came down from the bank and knotted himself in a double clove hitch around the elephant child's hind legs and said, "Rash and inexperienced traveler, we will now seriously devote ourselves to a little high tension, because if we do not, it is my impression that yonder self-propelling man of war with the armor-plated upper deck," and by this, O best beloved, he meant the crocodile, "will permanently vitiate your future career." This is the way all bicolored python rock snakes always talk. So he pulled, and the elephant's child pulled, and the crocodile pulled, but the elephant's child and the bicolored python rock snake pulled hardest, and at last the crocodile let go of the elephant's child's nose with a plop that you could hear all up and down the Limpopo. All right, we're going to take a station break here for a minute and let Miss Laura identify us.
Thank you. Excuse me. We're both kind of scratchy voices today. You've joined Library on the Go. We bring stories and adventures to you, and today Miss Barbara's reading a classic by Rudyard Kipling, and we are on KSJD, Dryland Community Radio, 90.5 and 91.5 FM, and the song at the start was Green Beans Everywhere by Hullabaloo, and here's Miss Barbara to wrap up The Elephant's Child.
Then the elephant's child sat down most hard and sudden. But first he was careful to say thank you to the bicolored python rock snake, and next he was kind to his poor pulled nose. He wrapped it all up in cool banana leaves and hung it in the great gray-green greasy Limpopo to cool. "What are you doing that for?" said the bicolored python rock snake. "Excuse me," said the elephant's child, "but my nose is badly out of shape, and I am waiting for it to shrink." "Then you will have to wait a long time," said the bicolored python rock snake. "Some people do not know what is good for them." The elephant's child sat there for 3 days, waiting for his nose to shrink, but it never grew any shorter, and besides, it made him squint. For, oh, best beloved, you will see and understand that the crocodile had pulled it out into a really, truly trunk, same as all elephants have today. At the end of the 3rd day, a fly came and stung him on the shoulder, and before he knew what he was doing, he lifted up his trunk and hit that fly dead with the end of it. "Vantage number one," said the bicolored python rock snake. "You couldn't have done that with a mere schmear nose. Try and eat a little now." Before he thought what he was doing, the elephant's child put out his trunk and plucked a large bundle of grass, dusted it clean against his forelegs, and stuffed it into his own mouth. "Vantage number two," said the bicolored python rock snake. "You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Don't you think the sun is very hot here?" "It is," said the elephant's child, and before he thought what he was doing, he schlooped up a schloop of mud from the banks of the great gray-green greasy Limpopo and slapped it on his head, where it made a cool, schloopy, sloshy mud cap all trickly behind his ears. "Vantage number three," said the bicolored python rock snake. "You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Now, how do you feel about being spanked again?" "Excuse me," said the elephant child, "but I should not like it at all." "Well, how would you like to spank somebody?" said the bicolored python rock snake. "Oh, I should like it very much indeed," said the elephant's child. "Well," said the bicolored python rock snake, "you will find that new nose of yours very useful to spank people with." "Thank you," said the elephant's child. "I'll remember that. And now I think I'll go home to all my dear families and try." So the elephant's child went home across Africa, frisking and whisking his trunk, and when he wanted fruit to eat, he pulled fruit down from a tree instead of waiting for it to fall as he used to do. And when he wanted grass, he plucked grass up from the ground instead of going on his knees as he used to do. And when the flies bit him, he broke off the branch of a tree and used it as a fly whisk, and he made himself a new, cool, slushy, squashy mud cap whenever the sun was hot. When he felt lonely walking through Africa, he sang to himself down his trunk, and the noise was louder than several brass bands. He went especially out of his way to find a broad hippopotamus. She was no relation of his, and he spanked her very hard to make sure that the bicolored python rock snake had spoken the truth about his new trunk. The rest of the time he picked up the melon rinds which he had dropped on his way to the Limpopo, for he was a tidy pachyderm. One dark evening he came back to all his dear families, and he coiled up his trunk and said, "How do you do?" They were very glad to see him, and immediately said, "Come here and be spanked for your satiable curiosity." "Pooh," said the elephant's child, "I don't think you peoples know anything about spanking, but I do, and I'll show you." Then he uncurled his trunk, and he knocked two of his brothers head over heels. "Oh, bananas," said they, "where did you learn that trick, and what have you done to your nose?" "I got a new one from the crocodile on the banks of the great gray-green greasy Limpopo River," said the elephant's child. "I asked him what he had for dinner, and he gave me this to keep." "It looks very ugly," said his hairy uncle the baboon. "It does," said this elephant's child, "but it's very useful," and he picked up his hairy uncle the baboon by one hairy leg and hove him into a hornet's nest. Then that bad elephant's child spanked all his dear families for a long time, till they were very warm and greatly astonished. He pulled out his tall ostrich aunt's tail feathers, and he caught his tall uncle the giraffe by the hind leg and dragged him through a thorn bush. And he shouted at his broad aunt the hippopotamus and blew bubbles into her ear when she was sleeping in the water after meals. But he never let anyone touch the kolokolo bird. At last things grew so exciting that his dear families went off, one by one, in a hurry to the banks of the great, gray-green, greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, to borrow new noses from the crocodile. When they came back, nobody spanked anybody anymore, and ever since that day, O best beloved, all the elephants you will ever see, besides all those that you won't, have trunks precisely like the trunk of the satiable elephant's child. The end.
Thank you, Miss Barbara.
Rudyard Kipling wrote a lot of poems as well as these stories, and he wrote one that goes at the end of this story, and I think it kind of goes to all the kids out there. How do we learn? We learn by asking questions, and that's what this little elephant did. This starts out, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. I send them over land and sea. I send them east and west. But after they have worked for me, I give them all a rest. I let them rest from 9 till 5, for I am busy then, as well as breakfast, lunch, and tea, for they are hungry men. But different folk have different views. I know a person small. She keeps 10 million serving men, who get no rest at all. She sends them abroad on her own affairs, from the second she opens her eyes. 1 million hows, 2 million wheres, and 7 million whys." And I'm sure we all know some little kids who say, why?
And it's going to stand them in good stead, and hopefully they don't get spanked.
Well, spanking is kind of a strange reaction to a kid being curious, but I guess they just got tired of listening to him. But
or they thought he was rude, because
he may have been interrupting things.
Yes,
yes,
and the hippopotamus is so beautiful. To have the red-rimmed eyes is just... an insult.
Does not like to be insulted
yes.
that way. But it's strange because we think that spanking is a human condition, but it really isn't. When I had my horses and I had a beautiful black and white Siberian husky, she loved to get the horses to chase her, and she thought it was a great game because she could go scooting under the barbed wire fence and they couldn't catch her. So she'd go into the pasture and she'd nip at their noses, and of course their noses are tender, and they'd chase her and she'd go scooting out. But one day she wasn't fast enough, and my little mare took her hoof and spanked her on the rear end just like she would have if she was a colt. Unfortunately, she was much smaller than a colt. She got her tail broke and she was going yip 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 all over. My poor horse looked at me like, what have I done?
Well, she just had her come up. And
she did. She learned her lesson.
And did you see your horse spank, her colts and?
I never had any small colts around when I was, but I have seen horses do it. Yes.
Oh, that's too funny.
It is. It's just one quick whap on the rear end with a foot and
that's it.
That's it. But it's a spanking.
Yeah. And if the horse has shoes, I'm sure that even delivers more of a follow-up.
I would imagine, although I was lucky in the part of Texas where we lived when I had my horses, I did not have to keep shoes on them. They went barefoot.
Yeah. Well, that takes away a whole other care issue.
She did break her tail, and she was never able to lift her tail up over her back again.
Oh, her beautiful tail.
Oh, well, and she loved her tail, believe me. The vet said, we can amputate that tail. It may be hard for her to get it out of the way to do her thing. And I said, no, you're not going to amputate that tail. I said, it would crush her spirit. I said, if I have to go out there with baby wipes every time, you're not going to amputate her tail. But fortunately, she was able to get along quite well with it the way it was.
Well, it's kind of the opposite of the elephant's trunk, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So spanking has a bad effect.
Yes. And, a lot of children don't respond to it. Please try other things before thinking of spanking, forms of discipline.
And spanking, to me, was one quick swat on the behind. Don't beat them with your hand or anything else.
Yes. That can do irreparable damage.
Yes, it can.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know that the library has regular story times every Thursday at 10:30 in the morning. And we'd love to see the older kids this summer when they're off of school. And we are continuing our summer reading program, and that started on May 22nd. And that will run through August 19th. Please come by and get a reading log, and you can read for prizes and books. And there are 6 big prizes at the end of the summer. And also we air here on KSJD, Dryland Community Radio, 90.5 and 91.5 every Sunday at 3:30 in the afternoon. And you can also find us online. We will have some archived shows. You can also listen to us at 3:30 on KSJD. Just go to listen. Make sure you have the right software. And that's the way I listen to us whenever I listen to the show. And enjoy. And hopefully our shows impart some wisdom to you, some humor, some poignancy. We hope that we do get a reaction from you. We haven't had any requests, really, and we've been doing this for over a year. And we would love to have you make some suggestions, good or bad. That way we know that you're listening. And I believe Miss Barbara has something to say.
If you enjoyed this story of Rudyard Kipling's, I have a whole book of his stories. And if you'd like to hear some more of them, give us a call, come by the library, call the radio station, get in touch with us somehow, and we'll do some more of them down the road.
Yeah. And I believe he's the author of Rikki Tikki Tavi, which you did probably about 6 months ago.
I believe so. Right? He also wrote a book called Kim that some of our older kids might enjoy.
Yeah, that's great. And I believe that coming up, Ms. Barbara is going to be thinking about doing more chapter books, of course, and running those as a serial, of course, over a span of probably about 2 to 3 shows. And she's done a Mary Pope Osborne book and a Tony Abbott book. And if any of the listeners would like her, you know, to do a particular chapter book that they're interested in, please let us know, especially ones that are in a series. And then we can kind of continue those and kind of sprinkle in, you know, easy picture books as we go. And a lot of the easy picture books, like the Patricia Polacco's, really are, you know, they're geared to all audiences, but really for the reading ability, that's on the elementary level, probably 2nd and 3rd grade. So please keep that in mind. And they are delightful books. And they do have pictures.
Yes, they do.
Okay, here we go again with Green Beans Everywhere by Hullabaloo.
Well, last night for dinner, my mother made green beans. I thought they were as greenest things I'd ever seen. Well, she said no dessert until your beans are done. So when she wasn't looking, I hid every single one. There were green beans in my pocket, there were green beans on the floor, there were green beans in my milk and green beans behind the door. There were green beans in my shoes and socks and in my sister's hair. Please don't tell my mom that I get green beans everywhere. Oh no, please don't tell my mom that I get green beans everywhere. Please don't tell my mom that I eat green beans everywhere. I went to bed a little sad, knowing that I'd lied. When the lights went out, I lay there and I cried. I finally fell asleep, but I had an awful dream. I dreamed I was attacked by a pack of green beans. There were green beans in my pocket, there were green beans on the floor, there were green beans in my milk and green beans behind the door. Shoes and socks and in my sister's hair. There's no place to hide, cause there were green beans everywhere. There was no place to hide, cause there were green beans everywhere. There was no place to hide, cause there were green beans.
Thank you for joining us.